Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, as also known as well as Bridging Wisdom. Tonight I have a special guest. Her name is Madie Lowry. She is the godmother of my children. Woo-woo! She's the major woo-wooer that so many have looked at the YouTube and seen. Woo-woo, you go, girl. Hey, Madie. Woo-woo!
Hello. I guess I need to go to YouTube to look at it, to watch this.
Oh, I put it on your Facebook page. It's so cute.
Okay.
I wanted to share with the active listening audience at BBS Radio Station 1 that we are doing. I wanted to tell you something very special. You don't even know what I'm going to tell you, but it's about godmothers. And I hear that you've been talking to my godmother, and she says, now, y'all, our godparents together. She told me that this morning. She called Aunt Sue.
Yes, and she, yes, Aunt Sue. We live 30 minutes from each other, so we are. We have become good friends. We've talked a few times and just had a great time.
Yeah, she called this morning, and the other amazing thing is, I did not know until just a while ago that Laura Beth, you know, the bridesmaid that kissed me at the very end of the wedding of Ashley Lee and Colin. You know, that Laura Beth is the godmother of Avery Lee, my grandchild. And it's her birthday today. And we were talking how she put a picture up on her Facebook of her holding Avery. She kept Avery during a funeral yesterday. And that's where I'm going with this, is I want to share this story with you of how special godparents are. And I did not know until I was just elated to see her with my grandchild, and she's the one that handed me Avery for my very first touch to my grandchild. And it's just so God, the way that she kissed me at their wedding and then handed me my grandbaby for my first touch. She was holding her first and then handed her to me. And so I said, that is so God to Laura Beth. And I said, and she goes, God surely does have a hand in this. I love Avery so much. And I said, that's what a godmother is, God. You know, it just blew my mind at the connection.
Yes. Oh, that is amazing. God works in great ways.
And then I called. I was telling Aunt Sue about the funeral yesterday, which is my great friend, Bobby Dahl, which is my son's best friend's mother. She passed away suddenly with an aneurysm to her brain on Thursday, and it's just been devastating. And we all went to the funeral yesterday, and I was just so devastated over it and heartbroken over how that family feels, because it was one son and one father, you know, her husband, and we all lived in Hearthstone, and she was my tennis partner several times for the Queen City tennis team. And she's the one that got me in touch with Dr. Glenn Perry with my knee surgeries, because she had popped her knee out. And anyway, to make a long story short, I was I kept getting the word presser foot with Ashley. I kept saying, I don't know what presser foot means, but at the funeral, she had her pictures, they had their pictures up, and she was quilting. She's a quilter. And so now I know what the word presser foot was for, because that is part of a sewing machine. And I then unraveled where we're looking under our quilt, that God can see the masterpiece at the top, and he knows exactly what he's weaving in and out of our lives. But Madie, the night yesterday, active listening audience, I'm going to be talking to Madie because I feel like I'm on the phone with her, but I dreamed and woke up at 3:38 the morning of the funeral, that I had a big circle, and I was standing in the center of the clock. It was like a big clock, but there was no, you know, numbers around the clock. But I knew it was a clock, and I was in the center of it. And the message was, look to the top and see the circle of the clock outside of this clock, which was like, you know, up to the left a little bit, but it was at 10 o'clock in my vision. If you think of 10 o'clock, but it was like 10:11. And there was another circle drawn. It said, do not stand inside this circle. We just ask and know that we hear you. And before I went, and it was really weird, I asked a friend of mine if they knew what the message meant. And several of us were just kind of, you know, contemplating, because I woke up out of a dead sleep and came into my den, and I knew it was profound, something profound. So Johnny, the guy that does my hair, you know, the famous, phenomenal Johnny the hairdresser, he said, maybe it's come full circle. He said, maybe it's, you know, something come full circle. So I didn't, you know, I was contacting, he was blow drying my hair yesterday before the funeral. And when I went to the funeral with Ashley and Matthew, Jason came in from Raleigh and his wife, and Marty was standing outside of the church as we drove by, and we had to do a U-turn to come back around. And that's my ex-husband, as you know, but he's, you know, how we have had a little strenuous situation there, and we haven't really talked much, but matey, there was 44 houses in Hearthstone where I raised my children. You know how we were the number one house where all the kids came and everything, because I didn't care whether they tore it up or not, but I did, but I didn't. Okay, could you have Sarah hold, please? I just want to finish this part. Thank you, Sarah. Anyway, matey and Sarah and the active listening audience, I just want to say that, well, let's go on and take this call, matey. Do you mind? Because I'm kind of like,
perfect.
There's a reason for that to have stopped. Sarah, hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. You're talking to Kathy and matey.
Hey.
Hey.
You know what? Y'all just made me so nervous. I forgot my question.
We're talking about, I was giving her a story about godparents, godmothers, and how things are so God. So have you been listening in? Or you know what I do? I take my hand and pop the back of my head, just very tap it on the back of my, right above my neck, and it always brings my question forward or what I was needing to say.
Really? I was trying to listen in, but I think the phone lines are down.
Okay. Well,
My son has a godparent, a godmom.
You are?
And when my son does, he has his godmom. And when he became his godmom, before she became his godmom, her son passed away.
No way.
Right before it.
Isn't that something? That's what we're talking about. Because when I called my godmother's son just a while ago, thinking I was calling my godmother to tell her to come on the air, and I got her son, and I haven't seen him since I was little, and he was driving the van for a funeral.
Oh, wow.
Her son. And he had a hard time hearing me on the phone because he was in the van with a whole bunch of people. And his father is my godfather, which is a pastor for 39 years, and he just had a stroke. And here we are talking about my godbrother, which you're talking, you called in and didn't know your question, but your message is how God is working through us right now, you know?
Exactly.
Because you're calling in to tell us that your son's godmother lost her son prior to becoming a godmother. And here where is
it?
Matey, what do you think of that?
Wow.
What do you feel?
That's amazing. That's a message for you to just to give us, you know, how special that is, and how God will bring somebody in your life and just help you through those times.
Wow. Well, I was glad to have asked her before her son passed away.
What do you feel a godmother is? What do you, Sarah, feel that the representation of a... I feel that it's a tremendous... my Aunt Sue, which is my godmother, she says, well, I don't feel I've done a very good job. I said, oh, my gosh. I said, you have no idea how you have touched my life all my life. And calling and praying with me, or just, you know, being there for me to just tell me how great I am or how blessed you are to have me. And, you know, there's five brothers and sisters here, but I'm going to tell you, Sarah, you've truly got a blessing. And is that your best friend? That's your godmother?
She's a really good friend, yes. Really, really good.
How did you get to choose your godmother? Because that's a very special, important.
You know what? We had been friends in high school, and we had reconnected after high school. And I knew, I don't know what made me choose her, to be honest with you. I knew she was a great mom, and I knew she only had one child. But I just asked her. Something just inside of me said, would you, you know, ask her to be, Tristan is my son, his godmom. And she was ecstatic, in tears.
That's the way Laura was. And Matey is a godmother, right, of three of my children. And she's known as Woo Woo. And it's so cute. Matey, do a Woo Woo for us.
Woo Woo! Yoo-hoo! It's the Woo Woo!
should maybe tell them how that started so that Sarah and the active listening audience will know, because your mother's so precious. It's all about mothers right now for some reason.
Well, growing up, my mother had eight children, and she, when we would be outside playing, we had a big yard of 5 acres, and we had a pond, and we would be out there swimming or fishing or canoeing or ice skating on the pond, and for her to call us in for dinner, she would do the woo-woo. Well, you know, after I got in, left home, went to college, and re-met up with Kathy, she just kept on saying, there's something that, you know, Kathy just kept on saying woo-woo. She goes, I don't know what it is, but that woo-woo, I just feel like something. And I'm like, I don't know where that, what are you talking about? Because, you know, my mind has been totally forgot about it because I'd left home and I'd been out of the house. Like,
Sarah, wait a minute. Are you near a phone or whatever? Because there's a lot of feedback coming in.
Or I'm your computer. Sorry, I might. Okay, well,
can you go into a private room,
you guys? Wait a minute, Sarah, because she's going to finish telling you the story in the active listening audience.
Yeah, if you can just go into a private room so we don't have that background noise. And then all of a sudden, I just remembered that it was my mother would do the yodely call woo-woo. And I mean, after like 5 or 6 years after leaving home and reconnecting with Kathy, it was like, wow. And so we were just going around. Every time we call each other, it'd be a woo-woo.
And then I had children, we started woo-wooing them to come home. And now it's just woo-woo all the time. You know, like my son just got married a couple of weeks ago, and we did a whole YouTube. But you just, all you have to do is type in YouTube, Tassie at Go Girl. That's what it's called. But I'm like, no, it says woo-woo. But it's so funny because, Sarah, the thing is that what's your special memory that you have of calling your children in or?
Did we lose Sarah?
I think we did. Well, let me get back to my conversation with you that I was going to share with you. The clock, okay? There was a circle, and I was standing in it. It was 3:38, and I got straight up out of bed and came in the den. I was so asleep, y'all. It was mind-blowing. I said, what does this mean? And the clock was drawn in front of me, a circle, and it said, do not stand inside the circle. However, just ask, and you'll know the message. And I was like, what is that? So I went to the funeral. Marty was standing. My ex-husband was standing in the front. I have not talked to him but once or twice. So we went to the funeral. Everybody, you know, I have gained a lot of weight from the thyroid cancer that I've got. And to make a long story short, everybody, it seems, in the whole neighborhood was there. That we all have not, you know, a lot of them still live there in the neighborhood in Country Haven Swim Club. And the last they heard is we moved out of the house and Marty and I were divorced, but Marty and I were just talking and standing around, you know, and waiting on everybody. We were waiting on Jason outside, my oldest son. And it was like everybody just congregated outside the church, but you could see inside where the waiting room, you know, where they were going in the circle to greet Dennis Doyle and Rob Doyle, which was Bobby's son and father. And so they, I'm sure, could see out, but the line was like out the door. I've never seen a funeral that big. It had to be a couple thousand people. But anyway, a good maybe 40 people, 44 family members of that neighborhood, and all their children. They came from out of town, Tennessee, everywhere. Their children came.
Wow.
And here they are, 30 years old, how old we were when we moved into that neighborhood. And we were the beginning, you know, the children were like 1, 2, and 3 years old up. And we were looking at our children pregnant and babies. And it was just mind-blowing. And Marty, I mean, we were just all congregating and hugging and crying and everything to see each other. And because it just showed the immense support that the real love in this world could really have. And we were just talking for an hour and 2 hours maybe before we got to the line because it was so long. Then my kids and Jason came in and the kids were like, oh my God, what is mom and dad going to say, you know? But we just picked up like we were just, I don't know, it was weird. It was like a time lapse, you know? And that's what I think the clock meant because it flipped me back to 2011, 2010, you know, the new clock that was right at 10:11, which 10 is a double change, you know, because 5:5 is a double change number, and then the 11 to the year 2011. And here we are, I'm oblivious as if I'm just, I don't know where I'm at. You know, it's just like it was just one of those things. I didn't even know I was standing in with my hip replacement and all that stuff. I didn't even realize Marty's back stopped her. Everything just stopped. And we got up to the line and Marty entered, you know, said Marty Cook to Bobby's husband. And he goes, you remember Kathy? And we embraced both of us at the same time to him. Here, Marty and I have been divorced since whatnot. We got separated at 92 and we've been apart, divorced since 97. And he couldn't let go of our hands. We were the first ones in the neighborhood to get there, you know, in the line, receiving line. And I just want to say that, Mady, you know what that meant to me, my family, the neighborhood. They probably thought, are they together or apart? But yet, you know, they knew we weren't together. But it was a time thing. I can't explain it. But it was like everything in the world and stopped. And then after I went through the line and hugged her son and I said, your mother's going to always, you gained a new angel. I said, your mother is always going to kiss your pillow every night. And I said, you know, his wife was pregnant. And it was just real difficult for them to hold back. They didn't want to hear anything. They just wanted to say hello. But anyway, I walked down. I didn't nobody. It was like nobody was in the corridor anymore. And I went to look at the pictures, Mady, and active listening audience. And it was all about quilting. Yeah, because she lived on Quilting Lane in Rocking Chair Road. I lived on Rocking Chair Road. She lived on Quilting or Tatting. But it was just streets. And I kept telling Ashley and my kids, I said, because I lay a storyline up after Matthew was married and I did my schematic storyline, you know, and I kept going, presser foot. What's a presser foot? Then I remembered presser foot is the sewing machine thing that holds the needle together to push it down to sew the material.
Wow.
And so then I know. And it was so weird, not weird, but, you know, we just didn't want, nobody wanted to say goodbye. You know, it was like everybody, it was so hot and humid. And there was videos and pictures. And one guy, you know how my hair is really, 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 really long. And Johnny had just blown it dry. This man was handing out the programs and he kept touching my hair. And I was like, and he kept taking the strand and he didn't have any hair on top of his head. I told him I was 55. He said, because he kept saying he was an old man, and he said he was 68. He was taking my gray hairs and putting them on his head like they were his. It was so cute. I kept saying, that's my DNA. That's my DNA. He was picking off my shirt. That's how I felt it, because my hair's down to my waist almost. And then he said,
you should tell him you'll cut your hair and make him a wig.
But you know, that's what I'm doing for cancer. That's why I'm growing it it's for loves for locks. And that's why I'm growing hair long, is to cut it, because in honor of my dad and cancer patients, because not many people grow real hair and donate it for cancer people that are recovering to have a really real hair wig. And I just kept saying, we were laughing and cutting up. And I met his wife, and I went around, you know me, I'm going to meet everybody. Hey, I'm Kathy Cook. And how did you know Bobby? And blah, 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 you know, and we just went around like that. But Mady, the blessing is that I did not get to go, as my next door neighbor, Vicki and Dana McKittrick, lost their daughter last October. Remember from a blood, it was Kyle McKittrick's little sister, and she was 21, and she had a blood clot to her leg and went into her lung while she was in the shower and killed her instantly. And I did not get to go to their funeral or wake, you know, to honor her life. And they were the first ones to come up the sidewalk. I ran straight down that sidewalk, girl, grabbed hold of both of them. And we just were all crying, you know, with excitement. And then 2 weeks later, after Kyle's sister died, he's a chef, and he was throwing, remember I told you the story, he had a grease fire and he was throwing the pot of grease out the door, and the wind blew it back on him, and he burned 80% of his body. So he would, but he's pain, and they flew him in helicopter to North Carolina's. Anyway, to make a long story short, again, he's getting married in Tennessee, and everybody's going to Tennessee in the middle of nowhere, so we can all be together again in the neighborhood.
Oh my stars! And you know, after all these years, and I was thinking the name of your neighborhood is called Hearthstone Heart. You know, the heart, the love of God, and then stone. You know, the Rock, the foundation. So yeah, y'all just have a wonderful.
I'm sorry, Mady, you just, you know, my ADD. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, and y'all were all knitted with your hearts, and it's just there, you know, just strong as a rock, your love for each other, because y'all saw your children grow up in that neighborhood, and y'all were so close, and the children are so close, so that's amazing.
Mady, what did you leave on my doorstep the day after the wedding, and because I was busy with work and did not knock on the door? What was that? You had that in your house. That stone you left on my front porch with the little alien. And I said, what does this mean? Oh. And I put it on the altar with the presser foot thing. And I said, what does aliens? You know, I was going, do, 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 do. And it had mushrooms all over it. Remember?
Yeah,
and you had that as a child.
Yeah.
You had that stone. You had it in the bag for Avery. But to me, as a child, I remember you having that stone when we were growing up.
And then for somehow, you know, once I left home and went to college and went, my mother had it. So I was down in Manio this past week,
original
we were in Manio, and I gave it to Mary Ellen, and then I picked it up from Mary Ellen's house. I said, this is supposed to be for Kathy, because I know how much you like to paint on stones, and you collect stones in different places that you went. And look, your neighborhood was called Heartstone.
Yeah, and at the wedding, Matthew's wedding, I took the stone that Jason brought me from Mexico, and when he said, the preacher said, may we build this marriage up as the cornerstone that is dismissed, is the strongest stone, you know, the biblical story. And maybe I put the stone I had in my hand down at the front of the, right at the edge, corner edge of the, so you were sitting, Mama, and then Aunt Sue, and then you, and the beside me, you know, but so you couldn't really see, but I put the stone down at the corner, and Matthew, after the wedding, right when the preacher said that, I used my healing stone, and right after the wedding, when the pictures were to be made, Matthew kicked it out for me instead of picking it up, which is exactly what they did in Egypt when they were building the pyramid. And then when Marty and my ex-husband and his family were going to have separate pictures, Pam says, she just made a little comment, and I remember I said, Pam, you look so beautiful, which is Marty's new wife. And then they took me outside right then and started taking my picture, you know, with Matthew. But it was just amazing how this is all coinciding and weaving in, how I haven't spoken to Marty really because he got married right after we got divorced. And here you're talking about the stones and how I collect them from Egypt and everywhere, even the pyramids in Cairo, they send them to me all over the world. And here you say in Hearthstone. And what does the stones represent? Now I understand why I've collected stones since I was a little girl. But that God is with us, and he's showing a miracle that we are sharing right now on BBS Radio. What is today's date? It's Tuesday, but today's date is April the 26th, 2011. I said right after Matthew's wedding on the 5th, I said, we've got to keep a timeline so that we know. And here is the reason why, you know, the timeline, because everything is like, it's almost like a healing message that this world's going to be okay. We're just going through transformation and change. But God's got it all in control if we all had that faith of seeing. Because here I was not knowing where this story was going to go when I asked you to be on air at the last minute. And at my godmother calling, which we don't talk very often. But I have prayed for him many times on this show because he had a stroke and he is now disabled totally. And they are not even going to give him rehab because they said, you know, but he's there. You know, he understands, but he can't move his body. And here he served for 39 years. I told Aunt Sue that her husband this morning, I said, you know, God's got this in control. And I know that's hard for you to hear right now. I said, but there's a reason for every single thing. There's a blessing. And I told them back when he had the stroke from the surgery that give it April, the end of April, 1st of May. I said, because it's going to be a massive turnaround for him. Well, I didn't know whether it was going to be help, you know, he's going to be back to his feet or what. And when God gives me a message, I just speak it. And just like the woo-woo, you know, so I don't know yet. But her calling me today to just tell me that she had contacted you, and now you and her are really close best friends. And here you work for an evangelist, right? Still?
Yeah.
And you've been to Israel and all over, and you work really strong and diligently for the Lord. And, you know, it's amazing how I have come to understand even more. A lot of people think that a godmother is someone that'll take the child if the mother dies and be the like a mother. Then some people believe that it's the godmother has to be the biblical, given the children books and or you know things about God, and here it goes to show you that God picks and chooses in our hearts the godmother that you know you just know the godmother, godfather, which is very important because it's just to show the love. And the care and abundance. Here, you don't have any children. Laura doesn't have any children. That's the godmother of my grandchild. And, So my children are like y'all's children because she doesn't believe she's going to have any children. She's not married. And anyway, I'm just so blessed, matey, to have you as part of our family and life. And you got to stay at the hotel after the wedding and be with my children, even though I came home because of Puppy Wuppy.
Yeah, and I just love your children. I mean, that was just an amazing time of celebration of Matthew's wedding and with Jackie, and just to see Jason with his precious wife, Julie, and then to see Ashley and her wonderful husband, Colin, and their new baby, Avery. And it was just a wonderful celebration and time. And to see your mother and your family so much fun. I think that's why I really like Kathy. She always knew how to have a wonderful time and to be laughing and fun and uplifting. And in eighth and ninth grade, I would just look at Kathy across the room and she'd be laughing in homeroom and everybody be laughing around her. And I said, I want to get to know that girl because I like to be around fun people. I mean, who wants to be around depressed and boring people? So I just thank the Lord that he helped us connect in homeroom and PE class.
Do you know that I played your mother? You left me a message. I'm going to see if I can pull it up on my phone. But you left me a message. You asked me to go to Manio, remember?
Yeah.
And I said, I can't go to Manio Mama's because that's where your mom lives. And I said, because it's Easter. But you left me this most blessed message. I've got to get it on here. Let me get it. Okay. Do you mind if I play it?
No, go ahead. It's wonderful. I thought it was cute too.
This is my cell phone. Okay. Wait a minute. Let me start it over.
It's me with mother, and she has a Puppy Wuppy story to tell you. Here she is.
And that's my dog's name.
A-B. C-D Puppies. L-M-N-O Puppies. Oh, say our puppies, C-N-P-N. Oh, did we do the whoop-whoop for, oh, we didn't. Can you do your official whoop-whoop that you did to call us home for dinner at night? What? Your official call that you did. That's, well, in her younger days.
Okay, that is the message that Matey, you left me, active listening audience, her mother, and the blessing, how the woo-woo, if everybody would just get out there and woo-woo, you know, call and get your energy out and just realize that it is such an evolving thing. And it's our Mother Earth. Our Mother Earth. Look at that, Matey. Look at that, y'all. It's our Mother Earth that's crying out to help heal her. With the godmother and mother, and does that make sense, Matey?
Yes, yes, it does.
Because it feels like a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if I've told you this or not, but I always said Pandora's box was deep rooted in the sea, remember? And I would tell the Yahoo people and everybody I came years ago, like 10, 15, 20 years ago, I'd say that. Pandora's box. I didn't know what Pandora's box was. And I said, it's wedged between a rock and a hard place. Well, when they drilled for that oil, they busted open the bottom of the kelp, the seabed, that the kelp holds the sea together. And it's causing all this tsunamis and, you know, everything. And it came from greed. If people would get out of the materialistic world and realize it's spiritual, because then what happened was the moon went crazy. Because it couldn't follow the ocean sea, which was full of oil, and the kelp that holds, I didn't realize this, I got it in an intuitive consultation with a Betty Booth lady, and I got the word kelp, and I didn't really know what that meant or anything, but I looked it up the other day week when I was just so dead set on the red button being pushed, and It is the iodine that holds, you know, and helps radiation heal. It's the only thing that will heal radiation is poison and is kelp, which is the deepest part of the sea holding seabed together. And here we've got the moon couldn't follow the ocean, so we had that deep, hard retro, which is where it was stronger than usual, and the moon was closer to the Earth more than any time this past full moon. And also the sun is hurting because the sun's got the plasma, which is, it has to receive and understand that it's the shadows of, you know, because that's the really only true light beside, you know, that God, and, you know, it revolves around the moon and gives us the night and the day, and it's the only real light that we have. And here it is, the kelp and the ocean. It just is amazing how everything connects, and it's Mother Earth healing. If we could get that message out there that, you know, if we could put the kelp back into the Earth's core, it would help heal the, you know, somehow or another, you know. And I also got iron that had been microwaved would help, is the only thing that holds wet sand together, like cement. And all these, it's on the BBS Radio TNT News Trader, and it's under, it's under some kind of code, like I kept getting Z something or another, but it was how I got that message, y'all and matey, but it was that, the fact of the matter being is, in the archive that I found it in my mail from 2006, it was like ZX321 or something. I don't know what that meant, but it meant to look it up. So I did, and it was a land called, I forget what it was. It starts with an M, I believe. I forget, maybe, because I don't pay attention when I'm getting these stories, you know, to put out there. I just know the message goes to somebody. And it was in foreign language. It was a YouTube, and it was going, let's go to, you know. All of a sudden, these numbers flashed up off the bottom of the YouTube. I looked up partials, you know, part of those numbers, and I couldn't find anything, so I started splitting the numbers. And it came up with how to hold the sand at the deepest part of the sea together like glue was this, it's some kind of iron that you melt down and microwave. And then I said, well, God, how are you going to get that in the earth? What's going to push it down in there? And all of a sudden I got all these codes, matey, for the actual tubing that goes, that holds that stuff. It's the only way to pump it down into the earth. It's just amazing. But I don't know who can take that information and fix the Universal World Wide Web's message that I'm trying to get out there of the healing of the earth, if they would just follow that. If you go to BBS Radio TNT News Trader on the left side of the menu, it says blog and service. If you click on that and you scroll down to, I believe it was 4/4/2011, which was just this past couple of weeks, it was right after Matthew's and Jackie's wedding, and just go to Four Doors Down. That's what it, because I was thinking of that song, Four Doors Down, you know, healing.
Yes, I heard that song.
Four Doors Down, and that's the name of the archive that has all that information in it. So if somebody could do something with that information, it would just be a blessing, because it would heal the world. You know, it's I believe it would help heal the Earth's core of the ocean. And that stop all this tsunami that's going to, I was reading on TNT News Trader today that there's going to be a tsunami on the East Coast that they can't, you know, hold. It's coming from an island like Canary Island or something in Africa. And it's going to swarm around, and they showed, because the News Trader has so much information in there. And it showed, you know, I started clicking one link after link after link, and it shows all this detailed information of how it's coming from, you know, the East Coast. And I had just given a broadcast on how I believe that I felt like a band of angels was around the earth in a dream, you know, and it started, I said, what's weird is it was all the way at the top, like in Alaska and going around, but right at the Bermuda Triangle, there was a big button, you know, like a big button stuck, and it was a band, like an elastic band all the way around. I said, I don't know what that means. You know, but it was a big button, like a healing, and the major part of it was at the Bermuda Triangle. And here, that's where that's where they showed the major turbulence of the tsunami coming up, was right there at that section. And if they could get down there into the earth core where the drilling was off the Gulf, you know, the Gulf spill, and also, you know, the Gulf War and the Gulf spill, and, you know, get that fixed, then we could stop this tsunami, because it says it's going to rush all the way up the East Coast and wipe everything out. And we won't know.
Wow, do they have a time frame? Oh, they don't have a time frame on that.
I don't know. I have to look that up again. But I'm just, maybe that's the message for all this godmother and this message. Because look how that fell into, like we said at the beginning of the show, God sees the master plan. He's the master weaver. We only are underneath, almost like the kelp, you know, the split at the sea. We're like at the bottom of the sea where the damage is, because this world is so damaged with people and the way they behave and act and everything. But God's on the top, like the sun and the moon, the stars, you know, like that's his halo. And he can see the quilt. He can see what the plan is. And here we're underneath looking up, but he's also given messages to know, to trust, have faith, and realize that there's messages out there to get to people, prophesizing, whatever. And you know how I am, matey. I tell things, I don't even know what I'm saying to people. I had, you remember Judy Lehman, Lynn Lehman, that went to school with us? Well, my sister's best friend in eighth grade, she called today and asked for an intuitive consultation. And I told her I was booked, and she told me something. I don't remember what it was, but anyway, to realize that her message was, my sister Susan won't call me since I gave her a deep root reading and her family, because it was a message to her, because she feels like I know everything. I said, heavens, I don't even remember what I say when I'm told to help somebody or give them a message. And I don't connect like that. That's against the law. You know, the law of the message, because God says as a prophet, or, you know, give out only what I say, no more, no less. And that's what I do. And I don't keep notes or what I say. And so I told Lynn, I said, I don't know anything about anything. And after I finish with you guys or anybody, I don't ever even remember what it means or says. Only the person does. And you never connect into another person with that in their energy field. That's a big no-no.
Well, I know when I went to Israel, this woman that I met, she just started prophesying over me, and I mean, it was so deep and so thick, and it was like I was like, whoa, you know. And I was like, and after I got back to my hotel room, I tried to write down some of the things that she would say, and it was I guess out of all the prophecies, that it was almost like, you know, you're just so overwhelmed, and I was just crying, just thinking of what the Lord, you know, has for my life, that he's got good things for everyone. You know, what the enemy meant for harm, God will bring it to good. And then but one of the things I remember her saying, that there was an angel with a scroll. And I was thinking it was because I write down my dreams and I try to decipher what they're saying. But she said, at the end, she said, no, this is a writing scroll for writing. But she gave me so many other things, I can't even remember. But I just have to believe and trust God and say, all right, I know that these good things will come to pass, because everything is good. You know, when you give a prophecy, it's good and uplifting. And I know what you mean, because when you're saying it for other people, you don't, you know, you're receiving from the Lord what you're hearing, and you can say it so fast and you know, so long that you might not pick up and remember each and everything.
Do you remember the broadcast we did at Lake Lure for Johnny and Kelly's wedding? They mixed the black and white sand. Do you remember that broadcast? And I told you about a prophetic dream, and we were trying to unravel the dream at the very end. It was time to go and hang up from BBS, and I said it was about the eagle pulling the raft, and the lady and the little boy was on it, and it was no sides to it. And at the very end, I said, I said, it was a pack of Newport cigarettes with a pirate, you know, and I stood on the chairs. He said, well, maybe we're all going to a new port. Do you remember that? Well, you look at this message, all this that's going on. The new port is how to heal the world, how to realize that people have things to say. It's not all about the greed or look at somebody. The message is there if people would just listen, you know. And the new port is like, you gave me that rock with the alien, you know, and it was just like, a couple of weeks after that, I even told about a dream I always have where I go up into the spaceship and I call them father and mother, and the mother had on the Statue of Liberty type outfit, you know, with a crown and everything. And I'm going, well, why do you have that on? And she said, so I won't have you be afraid, you know, what I really look like. And I said, how could I be afraid if I love you so much? It was like they were my family. And in the spaceship, I appeared, you know, I forgot about that dream. And then I dreamed another dream where I just appeared on the spaceship and the world had collapsed. And everybody got on a spaceship from different, the way that they acted on Earth. And, you know, like my maybe my aunts or somebody were on another spaceship. And my immediate family, I was looking for them everywhere. And I was at the back of the ship or either the front of the ship because my name is Bright Lights Pathfinders and they were honoring me. So I had this big, huge, but I said, but where's my family? And I was going, and they go, which one? You know, and I was like, wow, well, I don't know, my blood family, where are my kids? And then all of a sudden they appeared, you know, they went gone. But the spaceship was as big as a universe. It was like everything you could have ever imagined. And those corridors, just like the states. And I realized that somebody said something about if that, you know, the New York Statue of Liberty was floating in the ocean, and that's when you realize that the world is really dead. You know, because we're the land of the free. Here we are, the United States, the land of the free, and we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America with our heart, you know, covered. But also, if we look at this in a direct way, what do we say about, you know, we wouldn't touch the flag to the ground. Remember when we were flag girls? We wouldn't touch the flag to the ground. We honored it deeply. And I had one hanging out at my door, and it was tattered really bad. But I knew to keep it there. And it was right before Bush was in election. And my neighbor, the homeowners association came and told me that I had to get rid of that flag in a proper manner. This was right before Bush was. And then you brought me that flag that said, welcome, remember, with the pineapple on it?
Yeah. Oh, you never told me that story about the homeowners of the flag.
Yeah, that replaced that flag. And then I made some pictures of a real big flag that is on BBS radio station. This is just blowing my mind how this is unraveling because I didn't even know it either. But that tattered flag, they were so adamant that I disposed of it properly. So I put it in a very nice box and kept it. And I kept that Bush, you know, elect Bush today and blah, 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 you know, one of those things that go in your yard. Because I didn't. My Aunt Linda was for Bush and everything. And I haven't voted since. Remember when I got that ticket going to the beach? And it was because of that truck. And it was back in the 80s. I haven't voted since then because I don't believe in any of them. And I don't want to be a part of it. And I don't really know political, you know, aspects of the world because I don't want to. But I was told today I have to get involved with it. I have to know it so that I can get that message out there. And the only thing I can think of, Maddie, is that that the feeling that we get when, I don't know the connection to that, but the brand new American flag is on my bbsradio.com/brightlightspathfinders. Or you can go to Tuesday's lineup and click Bridging Wisdom that's on their time slot at 5 Pacific. And it tells the story. That's all I've got up at the bottom of the highlights is about the kelp. And the American flag is sitting there at the bottom. And then there's a link that you could click on where I put it on. I did a little 30-minute spiel on to Blog Talk Radio. And there's a message out there. Somebody's got to unweave it. We'll probably be unweaving this message for a long time, but is that amazing or what? How the Mother Earth connects to the Godmothers, which are the children, and we're all children great and small. We're all creatures great and small. And God does not see color, you know, and it's not about what Africa did or Afro-American did or this person. It's all about we've got to stop pushing it down. If the people would start realizing, if they can all make these blogs and make all this stuff on Obama, you know, and what he does wrong, that's all I've ever read is the negative. Why can they not do something to go to Congress, you know, instead of putting all their, you know, screaming and hollering on YouTubes or whatever about what they're pissed about, if they would put it all together and make one united Congress, you know, letter and everybody sign it, then something could be done about the situation. That's what I'm gathering.
Yes, and in the Bible it says you pray for your, you pray for the people in command, and you know, for the overseers, and for the people that God has put people in the position in the government, Senate, you know, and all these different things. So instead of cutting down, we need to pray for them and lift them up to the Lord, and He's, you know, the Lord can do mighty things, so we just have to keep our minds and our hearts and our thoughts on Him, and know He will work everything out for good.
You know, also, I read somebody said that the God said, do not have any mercy on the darkness and the enemies, and that I read in a YouTube, I was like, whoa, I didn't know that, and then a YouTube clicked to my YouTube, which was on something. You remember when we were at the wedding and I didn't know the camera was going, matey, but I say, Uncle Wayne, remember he called me Catbird? You remember that part? And I said, mm-hmm. And you went, oh yeah, and he's got the throat cancer, he can't talk. And do you know that right when I said, do you remember when, you remember Uncle Wayne, the music was on one song and it went, yes, I remember. And I was like, oh my God, as soon as I said, do you, and it was a black video, but then all of a sudden when I said, do you remember, and here we are talking in the, you know, the wedding reception, and it shows up to a speaker, and that's all, and then all these little letter U's with all the colors of the lights, and that's all that's on the video, and I put it on YouTube on Bridging Wisdom, because it blew my mind, that it was like, do you remember Uncle Wayne called me Catbird? And you went, and the music went, yes, I remember. I was like, we are so not alone. We are so alone. Oh my gosh. But it's been, we got like 5 minutes left, matey. I'd like for you to give a blessing and maybe a prayer out there to the world, and we'll close with that.
Okay. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the listening audience, and we just thank you for this time we've had together. We just give you praise, glory, and honor for this wonderful day that the Lord has made. We just thank you, Lord, for the topic we've been talking over, godmothers, Lord. And we just thank you that the godmothers will stand up godly and raise their godchildren in the ways that they should go, and also along with the parents. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and he shall not depart. And if, you know, sometimes we do have prodigal sons and daughters, but we just keep on praying and put our trust in the Lord, that the God of heaven and earth will bring these children back to the Lord. And Lord, we just thank you. I just thank you for this time together, and my precious friend Kathy, Lord, that you have blessed me so dearly over all these years. She's been with me through thick and thin, and through my bad times and my good times, and she's always there to lift me up and give me a word of encouragement. And I just thank you, Lord, for blessing the world, Lord, that many will know Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. And we thank you, and we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Woo-hoo!
Amen. And I want to say that I am just grateful for BBS Radio as a bridge to the wisdom that we gather for all the people that are a part of. And I want to thank you, God Almighty, for helping us to connect the Mother Earth's core and what can be done about that from the beautiful blessing of the godmothers and the coinciding of how things come full circle with Bobby, the new angel. And there's your angel scroll. Oh, my gosh, matey. I'm sorry. I'm praying. But there's your angel scroll, Bobby. And then, oh, Lord Jesus. Anyway, there's your angel scroll, because I told him, may the angels kiss his pillow at night. And she was such a strong believer in that family. And you know, when I was, right before we went on air, I got to share this real quick. Puppy was clipping her nails into the carpet. You know, I had that Berber carpet. So I said, oh my gosh, I got to clip her nails. I was so scared because I've never clipped her nails, but they're long. And so right when I was getting ready to clip the third one on the other foot, on the back foot, because I didn't know which one it was, and they were curled a little bit, I said to myself, I said, that's too short, click. And sure enough, it started spewing blood, but it was that split second that I said, that's too short, click. You know, but I didn't know. And all of a sudden, it's a dog's toenail just bleeds. And I said, oh my God almighty, here I'm supposed to be on air in 10 minutes. And here blood's all over my carpet now because it spewed out. And she's got her hands over her eyes right now on her back, just rubbing them. She knows we're talking about her. And she's 13 and she's my baby. Puppy whoopy girly whirly. But anyway, the message, I put my finger on the, I first got a Kleenex and it filled up the paper towel immediately. Immediately. And so I took my finger and I, because of being the shaman that I am, I just immediately took and I said, well, do I get sage? Do I get flour? You know, what will stop this bleed? And I took my finger. The ring finger is the finger that goes directly to the heart, and I placed it right on the tip of the toenail. And I said, God, you shed your blood for us. You shed your blood for us. And here puppies shed the blood. I got to go on air about the guy. I want to do the godmother thing. Anyway, I laid her down, immediately stopped with my finger. And I was holding, you know, getting a wet paper towel, a wet wash rag, wiping all the blood off her foot, and saw the toenail that was really probably the cause. It was curled way under that the groomer had been missing, and that was saying, see, there's always a reason to look in between the lines, because that was the toenail that was bothering her the most. But I would have not seen it. I would have not seen it, because I thought I was finished clipping her toenails at that very last one that bled. And bless her little heart, there's a message in there that, you know, the bread, the body, you know, that we eat, and to share that bread and the blood that's shed for us is for a purpose, to have something and someone to believe in, which is a very narrow road to heaven. And I believe in the star people, believe in everything, because we're all connected together in one union. And that's the knowing which God created us in one soul, you know, one image, and that was his soul. But there's your scroll, matey, which is the message, I believe, and the Newport from my dream. So you had prophetic and I had prophetic, all connecting the dots together. That the from the stars that have been unraveling. And I just want to thank you, matey, from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank BBS Radio for allowing us to have this airtime. And I want to thank the active listening audience. And with that, we are off the air. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Woo-woo.